If we could just open up our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. As we're turning in our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, Pastor Tim is not here. He is with Pastor Joe Niagara and Pastor Chris and Michelle and Jared and a team in El Salvador. They left this past Saturday. They will be arriving back home next Saturday, where they'll be ministering and bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people in El Salvador. So this week, if you could remember them in prayer and remember to lift them up and lift the people in El Salvador also up. Let us pray. We pray to our Heavenly Father, God, we just come before you now. We pray that you'd be with us. And Lord, we just pray that you'd be with your message today, oh Lord, that you just use me, oh Lord. We pray that it would be you and not me. And we just pray that you would prepare all of our hearts and that you'd bless this time and that you'd be glorified. And we ask this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18. After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of his palace. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and had supplied them with food and water. Ahab had said to Obadiah, go through the land to all the springs and valleys. Maybe we can find some grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so we will not have to kill any of our animals. So they divided the land they were to cover, Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another. We're in 1 Kings, and there's two books, 1 and 2 Kings. We're jumping right in the middle or towards the end of 1 Kings. And maybe you're wondering, what is going on? We have King Ahab and his wife, Jezebel. And this king has done more evil in the eyes of the Lord than all the other kings before him. And it was his wife's practice to worship the god of rain, Baal. And her main goal was to wipe out all the prophets of God. She wanted to kill them all. And this king and his wife and the people of Israel had turned their backs on God. But we see here that God had called Elijah. God had called Elijah to go to King Ahab and to tell him that there would be no rain for the next several years. There would be no rain. And that's kind of odd, being that they serve a god, Baal, which is the god of rain, the god of fertility, the god of abundance. And he goes to the king and he tells the king, King, there's going to be no rain for several years. There's going to be a very big drought. There's going to be a bad time. People are going to die and your land is going to starve because you worship a false god. And we see also Elijah, he gets scared. He winds up running away. And King Ahab and his wife and the people of Israel spend a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of their resources trying to find Elijah the prophet. We also have Obadiah, which we're going to meet now, but let us continue to read. As Obadiah was walking along, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, bowed down to the ground, and said, "Is it really you, my lord Elijah?" "Yes," he replied. "Go tell your master Elijah is here." "What have I done wrong?" asked Obadiah, "that you are handing your servant over to Ahab to be put to death? As surely as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now you tell me to go to my master and say, Elijah is here? I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave you. If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he will kill me. Yet I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth. Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did while Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 I hid 100 of the Lord's prophets in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. And now you tell me to go to my master and say, Elijah is here? He will kill me. We see Elijah and Obadiah finally meet. And God has called Elijah. God called Elijah to go meet King Ahab and tell him that there was going to be no rain, as I just said. And God's plan is now in motion. God has called Elijah. Elijah has gone to King Ahab. And now King Ahab and Obadiah went looking for land. And just as God has called Elijah, God also called Pastor Joe Nigro to go to India back in September, back in August. He called Pastor Joe to go to India, and as we've heard on Wednesday night, and if you have talked to Joe since about India, he didn't want to go. He also resisted, just like Elijah. Elijah didn't want to go and tell this king and his wife and the people of Israel that there was going to be no more rain. He was scared, but he went. He went and did what God had told him. And just as Joe resisted, Joe also planned and started to prepare to go to India. Joe also answered God's calling to go there. But a funny thing with Joe's calling is that you could say I was the Obadiah in Joe's calling. Because I believe from what he said that God had placed it on his heart to ask me to go to India. And the people in India were King Ahab and the people of Israel. I remember when Joe had came and asked me if I would pray to go with him to India, to go on a mission trip to India. And I told him that I would pray about it, that I would have to ask my wife. And when I went home to ask my, to talk it over with my wife, and she had just laughed and laughed. And she knows me. She knows I don't like the hot. She knows I'm picky when it comes to, what I eat. She definitely knows who I am, and she knows that I'm not a person that would want to go to India, but I prayed. And it was, God had just worked everything out. Worked it out where my mother-in-law would be coming from Portugal to stay with us for 6 months. And while I was in India, she would stay with my wife and my daughter, Michaela, and my son, Elijah. I was getting a green light. I had we were leaving the end of November, 2 days after Thanksgiving. And I still didn't use my 2 weeks vacation at work. I was able to give to get the time off. And it seemed like I was getting the green light, and everything pointed to India, to me to go to India with Joe and Pastor Joe and some other people. And I was a little scared, just like Elijah was scared. I was scared. Elijah, the prophet, he did not want to go to King Ahab. I didn't want to go to India. India has 1.1 billion people in this country, and the country's one-third the size of the United States. The two main religions, Hinduism and Islam. All right? The country's very poor. It's not a country where you can hand out tracts freely and talk to people about Jesus Christ. And child porn, child prostitution, it's like the capital in India. It's just terrible over there. But maybe you're here today, and just like Elijah, just like Pastor Joe or myself, God has called you. I'm not saying to India, but God is talking to you today. And God has brought you here. You may say, no, I brought myself here, Scott. All right, I drove here, but maybe God has brought you here this Sunday to speak to you. He's brought you here to Calvary Chapel. And just like King Ahab with Elijah, maybe today's the day that you're going to talk with God and to make your peace with God. King Ahab is finally going to get his wish, and that's Elijah. And let us read. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. And when he saw Elijah, he said to him, Is that you, you troubler of Israel? I have not made trouble for Israel, Elijah replied, but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. Now summon the people from all over Israel to meet me on Mount Carmel, and bring the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God who answers by fire. He is God." Then all the people said, "What you say is good." It's funny. We see King Ahab and Elijah finally meet. And when they finally meet, he calls Elijah the prophet the troubler of Israel. And it makes me laugh in a sense that, you know, my wife is Portuguese, and we've been back and forth to Portugal. And when we go there, we hand out tracts, we hand out Bibles, not looking for donations or money, just to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the people in Portugal. And I've heard it said over and over again. I've heard that, you know, that people have said, family members have said, "Oh, I think they're Jehovah's Witnesses." We're not Jehovah's Witnesses. And I heard people say, they're troublemakers. Not condemning anybody, bringing the sword on anybody, but just handing out Bibles and handing out tracts and letting them know that Jesus Christ loves them and that Jesus Christ died for them. But being called a troublemaker. And we also see here with King Ahab calling Elijah the troublemaker. We see here Elijah goes and tells King Ahab, "You know, enough is enough with all this, all right? You go get your 450 prophets of Baal. Meet me on Mount Carmel, and we're going to finally take care of this. We're finally going to put an end to all this. You'll present your sacrifice to your fake God, and I'll present a sacrifice to my living God, to the real and true God." And we see Elijah's here. You gotta really like Elijah. I mean, he's here, and he's all by himself. We have King Ahab. We have his crazy wife. And this worship of Baal, you have all the people of Israel. He really stacks the deck, you could say, against himself. But he's doing exactly what God has told him to do. Let us continue to read. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first. Since there are so many of you, call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and prepared it. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning till noon. "O Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. No one answered. And they danced around the altar they had made. At noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he's in deep thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted louder and slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom, until their blood flowed. Midday passed, and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice. But there was no response. No one answered. No one paid attention. Now I find, I just reading this over and over again, you see that, you know, these rinky-dink prophets, they don't get it. They're desperate. Their hearts are hard. Then they're just dancing around, crying out to God, slashing themselves And we see here Elijah's just taunting them, saying, "Come on, scream a little bit louder. Maybe your God is sleeping. Maybe your God is busy." And some of my commentaries and some of my studies, you know, it was said that he was even saying that, you know, maybe their God was in the bathroom, all right? And, you know, and they're sitting there and they're just desperate. You know, just like King Ahab and his wife, Jezebel and the people of Israel who worship this fake God. And they're seeing now that this God of rain, we don't have rain. We haven't had rain. There's this terrible drought. People are dying. Our land is starving. Just like King Ahab and the people of Israel, India has 3 million gods, and their country suffers greatly. India is a beautiful country. The people there are awesome. I mean, the children there are beautiful. We worked in a children's orphanage for most of the time that we were there. We were there for almost 2 weeks. And these children, this orphanage that we worked at, the kids would be dropped off there, or kids would be sent there, or kids would be given, or they take kids out of these prostitution rings. So from when the time they got there until the time they left, they were there all the way through college. They were clothed, they were fed, they were given a good Christian education, they were taught English, they were loved, and they were awesome. These little children were awesome. I mean, Pastor Joe last week showed a video, and it just touched everyone's heart. Well, 2 weeks ago, touched everyone's heart, and the people, I mean, the little children were just so beautiful. But the country is lost because they also too serve dead gods. Again, you know, there are two main religions, Islam and Hinduism. And they have a caste system there, all right? The more south that you are, the southern part of India, the Indian people there are very, very dark. And it's casteism is a nice system. They're slaves. There's slavery there. These people stand no chance, no chance at all. They're given the littlest of jobs, sweeping the streets, and they got to beg for money. And it's like we've come so far in the United States with slavery and all those things, but yet it still goes on today in India. One of the biggest shockers to me when I went to India, because they serve so many gods, is that child prostitution is okay. They sell children starting at the age of 6. 6 years old, children are in these brothels, in these prostitution rings. And foreigners and Americans, they come over them. They'll spend thousands upon thousands of dollars to be these children's first. My heart was broken. That's one of the things I didn't hear when I had went to India. And it was terrible. They have AIDS there. AIDS is out of control. People are starving. The country itself, the land, is starving, much like Israel during this drought from rain. They suffer so much because they choose to serve their dead gods in India. And just as Christian missionaries and the Christian church is showing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose for our sins, God is using Elijah to show King Ahab and all his people that he's the only true and living God. Let us read. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold 2 sets of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said, and they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered, and they did it a third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil. and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." We see here Elijah prepares the sacrifice. He prepares the offering before the Lord. And again, the deck is so, the odds are so against him. Again, we have King Ahab, we have the people of Israel, we have his wife, her devotion was to kill all the Lord's prophets, all of God's prophets. And we see Elijah here, he prepares the altar, he comes before God, puts the sacrifice on the wood, and then not even to, you know, to even put the more odds against them, he sits there and pours water on top of it, drenches the sacrifice, drenches the wood, fills the trench that is around it. Some of you scholars may be thinking, ooh, there's supposed to be this drought. Where do you get all this water? Now, we said that Mount Carmel overlooked the Mediterranean Sea and that Elijah would send his servants with the water to go get the water and then bring it back. And he just drenched this. And we see Elijah, he comes before God and he prays. He doesn't pray a long and big prayer. He prays a short and simple prayer. A short and simple prayer. He comes before the Lord and he prays. And whoop! The fire comes down and sucks up everything. Takes everything. Licks the water. Everything is completely dried. Just like God using Elijah and rebuilding the altar and placing the sacrifice there and then drenching it with water. That is how God can work in a person's life. If a person would just pray, if a person would just come before God and give your heart to God and say, "God, here I am. This is my life. Take it." And completely surrender. Just to submerge yourself, just like the water. Just to submerge your heart and say, "God, here I am." And pray. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. It doesn't have to be a big prayer. A long prayer or a big prayer. But God will rebuild your life. God will take your life. In India, death is all around. Death is all around in India. And when we arrived there, and we went to this girl's orphanage, and this men's Bible college, that's where we stayed, the team stayed, of seven people that went there. On the bus ride, it was like a 17, 18-hour flight to India. And when we hit the ground, we had to travel another 10 hours to get to where we had to go. So we traveled 4 hours. It was already late when we landed. We traveled another 4 hours and stayed in Pune. And then the next day, we traveled 6 hours and go to Abindagar. And we stayed at the Bible college, and then later on, we would go to the girls' orphanage. But I got to see India. I just didn't, we landed in Bombay, and we just didn't, hang out there. We traveled, and I got to see the people in India. And again, death, it was so polluted. It was so dirty. It's overpopulated. It was just a mess. Again, AIDS, child prostitution, poverty had just, there's so much havoc there. But when we stepped in the orphanage, I felt like God was showing me heaven. God was showing me heaven. And I want you to try to capture this in your mind, even if you have to close your eyes. Remember when you first got saved, if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you remember when you first invited Jesus Christ into your heart? I mean, it was awesome. Remember, I wouldn't take on the world. I'm different. I'm set free. I am free. And that's how it was with these little girls, and women, and the men at the men's Bible college. They had that joy. They had that peace. And if you're here today, cell phones. Gotta love technology, huh? But they had this joy and they had this peace. And if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you know exactly what I am talking about. What's important is that we ask Jesus Christ into our hearts. Is that we ask Jesus Christ into our hearts. But is that it? Is that it? Is that all? We ask Jesus Christ in our heart. Everyone else gets a free pass to go live how they live, to worship these false and fake gods, and everyone lives happily ever after. Is that it? Is that what we're going to see here? That everyone just gets to live happily ever after? No, let us continue to read. Please, just, whoever has a cell phone, just turn it off. Please, it just throws me off. Then Elijah commanded them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away." They seized them, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and slaughtered there. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look towards the sea," he told his servant, and he went up and looked. "There is nothing there," he said. Seven times Elijah said, "Go back." The seventh time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose, a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. You may be thinking, oh, a happy ending. A happy ending. The king and the people are saved. The false prophets, the bad guys, are dead. The king and queen ride off into the sunset while Elijah prays and God brings the rain. And everyone lives happily ever after. Nope. Nope. Not at all. Deuteronomy, God commands in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20, that any prophet who speaks for a false god should be put to death. And we see that here. We see the prophets of Baal, or were all, 450 of them. Elijah brings down the Kishon Valley, and they are slaughtered there. We say, oh, that's not fair. That's not nice. This is not a good story, Scott. This isn't a happy ending. The happy ending is for all those who decide in their hearts to worship God. In India, there are so many who are dying every day because they also, too, worship the Baals. These fake gods, the 3 million dead gods, phony gods. These rinky-dinky gods. You know, in India, I left a piece of my heart there. I was there for 2 weeks, and I just fell in love with the country. The food was fine. As a matter of fact, I didn't even lose any weight when I was there. All right. We were going there, and you know, my wife thought I was going to come back, and that Joe and I, the two biggest guys here at Calvary, we're going to lose some weight. And, you know, I even remember Andrea making us, his wife Andrea making us, you know, tell her ham-egg cheese sandwich before we left. And I was like, man, this is so good. I'm really going to miss this. But the food was great. The people were awesome. The children were terrific. But again, they worship these fake gods. They worship these dead gods, and their country suffers. The children there in India don't stand a chance, just like these people in Israel didn't stand a chance while worshiping the god of Baal. The children in India stand no chance at all. The people of India don't. But my heart went to the children. They're just doing what their parents are telling them, what their customs are telling, what their traditions were so hard to break. They stand no chance unless they make Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. And it's just sad. The rest of my heart, you may ask, where's the rest of your heart? The rest of my heart is right here with my family here at Calvary Chapel. This is where I was born, United States of America. And I love the people here. My heart hurts for us. You see all around us, you know, this is not a good time. we're heading into a recession, and you know, we have these shootings in these colleges, and you know, they continue to happen. Maybe this one wasn't as big as the last one because our hearts are like, oh, that happened already. But it's serious. It's sad, and it just hurts me terribly. You know, if you're here today and God is just talking to you, one, maybe you're here today and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. Maybe you're here this Sunday. You know, next Sunday you're at another church and you just church hop, and or you're just too busy. You got to climb up that ladder, get that promotion, and you got to step on a couple more people. Or maybe you're here today and you're living with your girlfriend or your boyfriend, and you're sleeping with them. I'm just too busy. I don't have enough time. You got to make time. In closing, it's several weeks ago, my wife was calling me out of the living room. And she was calling me and she was saying, Scott, come here. And she was putting my daughter, Michaela, to bed. She's 4 years old. She says, she keeps talking about wanting Jesus into her heart. She just spent that Sunday in Sunday school, so I probably owe the thanks to Dave Gentle, because he's just doing him and the teachers over there do such a great job with the children. And my daughter had came and she had said, Daddy, you know, I want Jesus into my heart. I want to invite Jesus into my heart. My daughter's 4 and she's looking up at me. I said, Michaela, who is Jesus? She says, Daddy, he's the Son of God. I said, Michaela, and where did Jesus live? Here on earth, Daddy. And I said, Michaela, what happened to Jesus? He died on the cross. And I said, Michaela, why did Jesus die on the cross? For my sins, Daddy. And I said, what are your sins, Michaela? They're my bad things, Daddy. And I said, Michaela, and then what happened when he died on the cross? They buried him in a cave, Daddy. I said, yeah, Michaela. They buried him in a tomb. And is that it? And she raises her hands. No, he rose. He rose from the dead, Daddy. And I said, Michaela, if we didn't invite Jesus into our heart, what would happen? She says, Daddy, I would die and I would go to hell. She said those exact words and I couldn't believe it. And this is if you have children, this is every parent's prayer, every parent's request before God is that their children come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I said, Michaela, let us pray. Let us pray now to invite Jesus Christ into your heart. Let us pray. We pray to our Heavenly Father, God, we just pray now. We pray if there's someone here today that doesn't know you and has worshiped the gods of the United States of America, the false and fake gods, the TV, the drugs, the sex, the alcohol, whatever their pleasure may be, money, lust. I just pray now, Lord, that you would open their heart, and I pray that there's someone here who does not know you, God, they would just come and accept your free gift. Your free gift is your Son who came to this earth to live and to die on the cross for all of our sins, all of our bad things, and to be raised from the dead. And that by believing in Jesus Christ and inviting him into our hearts, that we would live for eternity with you in heaven. I just pray, oh God, I pray that if there's someone here today that wants that and just prayed that prayer just now, that they would just raise their hand. I just pray now, Lord, that you be with us the rest of this Sunday. I just pray that you'd go before us. I pray now for Ken and Donna Jackson as his wife has cancer. And for all the things that they're going through. Just a good friend of mine, Ken, his wife Donna has cancer. And I just bring her before you, Lord. I pray that you take away the pain. And I pray that your will be done. I pray if the surgery is necessary, let the surgery be done. But I pray that your will, we pray that your will be done. I pray that you would comfort the Jackson family, Ken, his wife, and their two daughters, and be with them. And Lord, I just pray for all of us here today, oh Lord, that we would not worship the gods of this world any longer, but that we would worship you. And we pray this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.